Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello again, and welcome to another incredible episode of the Sexy Unique Podcast. Before we get started today, I have several announcements to make. And you know what? I'm going to plug myself because this is my podcast. This is my journey. And I can do whatever the fuck I want in this space. So first things first, I don't know if you know this about me, but in addition to being a podcast guru, I also am an actress. And you can see some of that acting on a YouTube show that I do with my friend and collaborator, Graydon Shepherd. It's called Influenced. You can visit youtube.com/influenced to see episodes of our show. And I'm really obsessed with this project. Everything that we do makes me cry laughing. And I feel like if you're listening to this podcast and you're into me, you will also watch these videos and cry laugh. Or you might hate them. But either way, you should check it out. It's youtube.com/influenced. And yeah, speaking of my friend and collaborator, Graydon Shepherd, he and I both guested on a podcast this week called The Capsule 98, hosted by Randy Bergman. And we're talking all about our high school prom experiences. And some of you may know this about me, others of you may not, but my high school experience was not very traditional. I was on a lot of drugs. I was a very wayward teen. And my prom was an expression of that time in my life. So if you want to hear me talk about that, you should go check out the Capsule 98 podcast. It's on iTunes. It's wherever podcasts are like broadcast. And Google it, figure it out. Maybe you'll all. But that wasn't the only podcast I did this week. No, no. I also was a guest on Realizing Stuff with Kara and Ryan, which in my opinion is the most special and amazing Kardashian podcast that exists. I love going on this podcast because this is my one place where I can just air all of my feelings about the Kardashian family, and I have many feelings about them, and I don't do that really on here, and Ryan won't let me really do it on Babe, so this is my outlet, my number one outlet for Kardashian feelings. So tune in. We're talking all about Kris Jenner this week, and I think that that's really appropriate because she's clearly on the forefront of everyone's mind with Mother's Day having come and gone. So find it on iTunes, Realizing Stuff with Kara and Ryan. you will be very happy that you did. And now I also have to alert your attention to the fact that I have a new episode of my podcast, Saving Sex in the City 3. You need to check it out for your own good. It's on iTunes. One of my frequent Sex Unique guests, Carrie O'Donnell, is on the pod this week, and he like murdered me with lols. Like, I'm actually speaking to you from the afterlife because I didn't survive that recording because he is so funny and his ideas for Sex in the City 3 were so good. So check out Saving Sex in the City 3. I promise you, like, you'll like it. If you like Sex in the City and you like me, you're going to like this podcast. That's just all there is to it. It's very simple. And, you know, I like to think that I give you all a lot of content week to week. And this week I've just like ramped it up to 11. So between all the things I just mentioned, you will definitely be able to find something that gives you joy. And if none of this did it for you, then, you know, keep that information to yourself because I ain't interested in hearing about it. Last but not least, I have to say a huge, huge thank you to each and every one of my Patreon supporters. You guys are powerful because you help me do what I do every week. You help me bring you this podcast. Without you, I say this all the time, but I can't say it enough because it's true. Without your support, this podcast would not exist. And without your support, my other podcasts, Babe and Saving Sex in the City 3, wouldn't exist. And I just wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today without your help. And so I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who have pledged to support the Sex Unique podcast. And if you're wanting to support SUP, it's very, very simple. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find everything you need to know to become a supporter. For as little as $1 an episode, you will have access to weekly bonus episodes with me and my guests. And you'll also have access to a patron-only season of this podcast covering season one of Vanderpump Rules. We've covered episodes 1 and 2 of season one so far. We have a new episode coming on Monday, and every Monday until the season ends, you will be getting a new episode of Sex Unique Podcast that can only be found on the Patreon. So check it out. $1 an app ain't that bad. www.patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. And without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, like I'm Lara Marie like Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Then we go with a friend, you'll be both win.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another spectacular episode of the Sex Unique Podcast. Raise your fucking glasses high because...
And raise the roof, honey.
Raise the roof for today's guest. You might have recognized him from my other podcast, Saving Sex in the City 3, but he's back. It's Jonathan Parks Ramage.
Hi, you guys.
Hi. It's so good to have you back.
I was talking to like them.
No, I know, but I was responding as them to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
They say hi and they love you. I can tell.
Oh, good. Hi. I'm very excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I feel like this reunion finally ramped up to a place where I could really fuck with it in this episode.
There was an extreme ramping happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a wild journey. I think we've watched every single episode of Vanderpump Rules together this season.
I believe
almost
we have.
Every, yeah.
We've gone on this long, painful journey together.
It's been it's been 23 weeks in a row that we.
God, I feel transformed. 23 weeks.
Yeah, next week will be the 24th.
How long is an average pregnancy?
That's a great question.
I'm sure it's a question that Katie's thinking of.
I'm sure it is. I think that I don't know how long it is. 23 weeks is about almost half a year. This started in December and now it's May.
Wow.
And it feels like just yesterday, Brittany was telling everyone to rot in hail.
Rot in hail. I think she will continue to do that forever.
Yeah.
She seems, I don't know. It just, Brittany is such a Southern tragedy to me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I feel like she's kind of like, if Tennessee Williams like was alive today and like produced a reality show, she would be the star of it.
Yeah. I feel for her in some aspect, but I'm also just like, the future, it'll just be more of the same.
I don't trust Jax for a goddamn second.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I'm like here for his transformation. I'm here for how much he's owning it. But like, I do not believe in Jax for a single second.
No.
He's going to be a repeat Britney offender, I feel.
He will be. And like, to me, it's very obvious that he's just saying what everyone wants to hear in these reunions, like, and it has no passion or real meaning behind it. Like, I don't doubt his like grief, but it's like, I do doubt everything else that he says.
I doubt the coke sweat pouring from his forehead.
Yeah, and his crazy eyes like darting around.
Yeah.
No, I think the coke wore off in this part of the reunion because he's literally like, whenever it cuts to him, he's like staring at people just with his mouth open. He's just like,
he's
a little less ramped.
He's a little less ramped, a little more road hard and put away wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a good sheen going on his face.
No, I mean, I feel like it really, he blew up during the whole thing where Sheena just like walked off and like had to like get the makeup to cover her tears. And then he chilled out a little bit and was just like casually an asshole for the rest of the time.
Yeah. And like said one or two things that he had been like coached on saying, like that he knew he needed to say. So he wasn't a total 100% asshole, but it was still like about 85%
asshole. 85% asshole.
Let's get into it.
Yes.
Oh, I noticed that Brittany still has to wear a handkerchief dress, like the Sir handkerchief dress in the opening credits, like when it's the entire cast shot at the very end.
Oh my god, honey, that's also good for you for noticing.
I never knew that
it's
before
like a
this moment.
Waldo moment.
Yeah, I was like, everyone's outfits are so wild. Like, mostly my eyes drawn to like Ariana's like tie up lace up pants.
Or Logan just lurking in the background.
Yeah, looking very serious.
Looking very serious and very twinky.
But then my eyes wandered over to Brittany and I said, oh my God, she's in a fucking Sir handkerchief dress with a statement necklace.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
She deserves so much better.
I wonder if she was just working at Sir that day that they took her photo and they were like, get over here.
Get over here, bitch. Yeah. We don't have time to do hair and makeup. That's crazy. She deserves so much more.
She deserves more. So I'm excited to see if next season they upgrade her to just like a regular outfit.
I mean, there are so many people in that fucking opening shot at this point. I'm just like, you guys, like, it's like the Marvel Universe. It's becoming too crowded.
It's the Marvel Universe.
It's the Marvel Universe. I'm waiting for Deadpool 2, Stassi's birthday, just like spinoff. Do you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
Like, creating a whole Marvel Universe just out of her horrific birthday.
It's true. And we now know, like, or at least I know who everyone is in that photo. Like, Adam and then that other guy, Wes, who's, like, TBD, but, like, at least I've identified them.
Yes. All the mysteries have been solved.
I'm feeling really confident. Yeah. I'm like, why did it take 24 weeks for you to explain these backgrounders? But life is a journey.
Life is a journey. And I just hope that Brittany gets a better dress for next season.
Same.
Yeah.
Jax is going psycho. Like, the reunion opens up, he's still like ranting. Sheena's crying and just like getting the eye makeup on over her tears. And Jax, like, when he finally calms down, Brittany is telling him, like, Brittany, everyone's correcting him and being like, she did reach out. Like, she texted you and like she checked in with me and she like talk to me every day, like, she did, you're wrong. And then Jax is just muttering to himself and he's like, no, I'm 100% right.
I think he just hates Sheena.
Yeah, but it's weird that he's like hating her now, because according to her, last week they were like all high as fuck in Vegas, yeah. And he was saying, I love you.
What happened behind the scenes?
I think he knows what to do to get like attention on reunions, or like amp up the drama.
Oh, you think he's just purely amping up the drama?
Yeah, I think so. Like, why? I mean, these people have very poor communication skills with each other. So, I mean, I could see him just hating her guts for months, and then finally, and then pretending like everything's okay, and then finally in this moment being like, blow up. But
I mean, yeah, but like, it is very weird that he was like just in Vegas.
Yeah.
And just pretending everything's fine, and just seeing her sex tips from a gay man to a straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which, side note, I would literally rather die than sit and see Sheena act in anything, let alone that piece of trash.
As someone who has like a musical theater background, are you offended to your very core? Can you speak on behalf of the musical theater community?
I'll just speak on behalf of the entire musical theater community and gay men everywhere when I say that we deserve better than Sheena. Like, does she even... She doesn't even have any gay friends. That's the whole thing. It feels very cynical to me. And it feels just very... I'm just like, honey, what gay man do you actually have in your life besides the one that is cast in this show in Vegas?
Yeah.
Please tell me. Because I don't believe for a second.
No.
I don't think the gays are standing for Sheena. I don't think that she has any gays in her orbit. She doesn't have any on the show. And, like, I don't know. I don't trust it for a second.
You're calling bullshit.
Yeah. And like, no gay guy I know is like, yes, Sheena, she's so fierce. Everyone's just kind of like, ah.
They're TBD on Sheena.
They're TBD on Sheena.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess the gays in the musical theater community will stand with Jax on the side of this controversy.
Wow.
Because I'm speaking for us all now.
Drawing a line in the sand.
Drawing a line in the gay musical theater stand.
Forcing them to choose sides.
I
think they would side with Jax anyways, probably.
I know. Well, it's hard because he's also a terrible, evil human being. But I think on this, just this one issue.
On this one issue. Yeah. On the issue of Vanderpump Rules cast members doing musical theater.
Oh, that specifically... I mean, it is like, it's just the ultimate gay bait.
Yeah, it is. I don't think the show did very well.
Yeah, like, also, who... that it just seems like the wrong... like, a Venn diagram that doesn't actually intersect. Like, Vanderpump Rules fans, gay people, Sheena. Like, there's no, like, center of the... whatever the... I don't know.
I want to know, like, how much she got paid for that job. Because she relocated to Vegas and was, like, doing this show, like, four times a week or something.
Do we know what casino it was in?
I can't remember. I think it was Paris.
Okay. I bet you she was not getting paid very much.
Yeah.
But I feel like her true dream is to probably become an actress, question mark? Or
I don't
like
think so. I think she wants to be like a personality.
She
like
wants
I think
to be
that's
a Kardashian.
Why. Yeah, like she has her podcast. She like I think wants like a talk show or to be like a presenter.
Oh my god, lol.
So best of luck to her. But I don't think her calling is singing and dancing.
No, I don't think so at all. Yeah.
So Sheena finally comes back after Ariana checks in on her. She comes back and then like explains to Andy what's going on, and he is like, oh, her makeup. So Sheena comes back and Andy asks her if she's okay, and then she goes, no, but I'm a professional.
As if being a professional just means it's like to be a professional, you have to just suppress all your emotions and endure abuse. Like, just the most ridiculous implied definition of what it means to be a professional.
But also, like, you're a professional. You just walked off the show.
Actually, you're not a professional at all.
Yeah.
You just said, I never usually do this, and then walked off of the set where a shoot was happening and you were engaged in a conversation.
And then came back and claimed professionalism. I like that tactic, though.
Just true double thing. Just acting completely unprofessional and then just claiming professionalism.
Yeah. And then someone being like, are you okay? Because you did a psychotic thing. And being like, no, but I am a professional. That's a power move.
It is a power move to just redefine what professionalism is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just redefine all sorts of words, really. Yeah,
and just bend them to your own needs.
Yeah.
Very Trumpian.
Very Trumpian.
Very Orwellian. Honey, maybe she's read 1984. I don't know.
I bet no, but maybe.
I'm going to go with
anything's
no as well.
Possible.
Anything's possible.
Lala finally talks about her man, and we get to know that they've been together for 2 years, and they're very happy, and that he was legally separated when they started dating, so she didn't home wreck.
She was not a home wrecker, honey. She's just, I have to give it up to Lala. She's just owning her truth. She has never made this relationship be anything other than exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
She is just ready to flaunt her cars on national television and brag about how he buys them for her.
Yeah, like, I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm like, be a hooker.
She's cracked the code.
She has cracked the code.
Literally, show me one other person on Vanderpump Rules that's achieved what Lala's achieved.
Literally,
no one.
Because
they're fucking dumb. Yeah. Like, if they were smart, they would have done exactly what Lala's doing right
now.
Yeah,
in the PJ, private jet.
She's on the PJ. She's hanging out with Marty Scorsese.
Oh my God.
She's at Cannes right now.
She's at Cannes right now.
Like, Lala has achieved.
Wait, is she actually at Cannes?
Yeah, she's like on the red carpet. Variety posted a video of the Gaudi premiere, and Lala and her man were in the video.
Oh my God, that is rich. Did he produce?
Yes.
Gaudi?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Lala. She's cracked the code.
Yeah.
And she's cracked the code by being completely shame-free, just owning the arm candiness of it all and just making that her brand.
Yeah. And like,
which I'm like, good for you, honey.
I much prefer that to like the vague, like from a couple seasons ago when she was just like denying everything and the NDAs and all that. Cause it's like dishonesty in this kind of situation won't work for anyone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm 100% like a Lala stand.
Yeah, just move into your authentic identity as a gold digger. It's fine.
And just be like,
yeah. I love this, but I also love my man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows if that's true or not? We will never know. But I mean,
I think she loves him.
I think so too.
I get a genuine love feeling from her to him.
And I think she loves money. Yeah. I think she loves
having multiple cars and purses and shoes.
And she loves a PJ.
You know what? Me too.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too. Women power.
We'll get there. I was going to do a pre-transition to that horrible Jax moment.
But we'll get there.
I'm here for Lala's man. And
She calls him Rand.
Rand Paul, honey.
Rand.
Ant or Ayn Rand. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's Randian.
And then Andy asks if everyone who's met him, and everyone raises their hands. And then Tom Schwartz goes, he's lovely.
Tom fucking Schwartz, get
God.
It together. His hair did, for once, I think, in the history since I've been watching the show, it actually looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like an errant flop situation where it just always just a little bit out of place and weird, but it did look good.
It did look good. We'll give him that.
That's the only thing I'll give him.
Yeah. And so then Lisa gets really excited, and then she's like, tell him who watches the show. And then we find out that Martin Scorsese himself is a fan of Vanderpump Rules.
Which, actually, if you've watched Casino or, I mean,
yeah,
I
that's
feel
the
it,
basis
it, of every Marty Scorsese movie.
Yeah. And it's like, the female characters in his movies are so parallel to the female characters on this show.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'll fucking say it once and I'll say it again. Vanderpump Rules is a show for geniuses. Fucking don't, like, try and fight me on that. Time and time again, we see.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Lala, like, I wonder where Lala stands in, like, the awareness of it all. Like, but I think that she kind of gets it.
I think she kind of gets it, but then other times she doesn't get it. I don't know. Like,
I think she's kind of doing like the Cardi B thing where she's like, she's in on the joke. She's getting fans. She's building her empire. And then in 5 years, it's going to be like Lala's net worth is like $150 million.
But the problem, though, is that except her music is just terrible.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
She has like a deep baritone voice. She's like, you got a feeling and I'm feeling like I'm feeling you.
Really not what she sounds like.
She literally
like at
sounds
all.
Like
does not sound like Baba Black Sheep singing.
She has a deep, like, basso profundo. She is, yes, honey, honey, bringing out opera terms. She is, her voice is wretched. Cardi B is talented. I'm sorry. Cardi B is my personal spirit animal, and I feel very passionate about this. And yes, Lala, but also Lala is not as...
I'm not saying she is Cardi B. I'm saying I really did hit the trigger. You got fired up. A basso profundo.
I'm fired up about Cardi.
Well, okay. I'm saying that she's pulling a Cardi B in the sense that she's working the machine the same way. Because Cardi came up on Love and Hip Hop and like what like got her kind of fan base in reality TV and then like expanded her empire from there. I'm saying what Lala's doing is similar.
I would say that if any of the cast members have the potential to actually achieve mainstream success. Whoops. Mainstream success. There we go. It would be her.
Yeah.
Cause she's like she's tapped into a source of extreme wealth. You're right.
She's working it.
She's funny. She's
Funny. She's outspoken. Hot. You know what I mean? Like, she's probably a very fun person to have around. And, like, for her man, like, to have someone like Lala kind of socializing. Like, she's in such a good position because she's at a point where she can now make connections that might serve her later in life. Like,
no,
I'm just like,
feeling it, I'll feel it like I'll feel you.
You sound like Buffalo Bill.
She sounds like Buffalo Bill. It's
she
all
kind of
Buffalo
has
Bill.
A Buffalo Bill look to her. A little.
What, like one of the people that he's killed?
No, like when he's like singing Goodbye Horses.
Oh.
He like clips on a couple earrings and then has like
and looks identical to Lala. Like,
the hair color is a little similar.
Yeah,
I want her to do like a Goodbye Horses.
Yeah, I want Marty actually to do. I feel like a reality show would actually be a fantastic world for Martin Scorsese to explore.
Yeah. I want to like write the movie version of Vanderpump Rules and then have Martin Scorsese make it and then next year go to Cannes.
Because it will only take a year.
Yeah. I'm looking to fast track this project. If there are any investors listening or producers listening, please get in touch with me directly. I'm not going to go through reps because we really just need to make this go as quickly as
pure
possible.
Art.
We need this at Cannes next year, so we need to start production tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But like... Or, I mean, next year is not realistic, but like 2 years from now, I could be in the limo with Lala and her man and Marty.
And
honey. We'll just be like lolling and then walking that red carpet.
He just loves like an American like cautionary tale about greed, ambition, trashy yet fierce women.
And it's all there.
And it's literally all there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. Andy almost calls Randall Lala's husband at one point. He's like, and what is your boyfriend? And I think that that was a slip because I think that they are actually married.
Deep twist.
Because at Deep her state. Father's funeral, it listed her name like with, it was like his, Randall's last name. It was
at
like
Lala's father's funeral?
Yeah, like on the funeral program, someone had like, tweeted it or something and it said like Lala Emmett, and so I think that they're married.
Honey,
theories
from PJs to prenups.
And then that slip with Andy, like I think it.
Oh my god, I'm here for that conspiracy theory.
Lala, Andy asks like what all Randall buys her, and she's like shoes, purses, cars. And then Sheena Shady under her breath, materialistic things.
Which, I mean, again, honey, claiming professionalism. Materialistic? Excuse me, Sheena? Get out of here. Just as if she is like a well of depth and spiritual meaning.
Yeah.
Like materialistic things.
I mean, I clearly she doesn't care about materialistic things as much as Lala does, because that shithole apartment she lives in with that with that like couch with the cup holders that haunts me literally
the photo
every day.
Of herself.
But like Sheena trying to pose as this person, like this girl that doesn't care about getting flowers and like doesn't care about materialistic things is the biggest lie.
Is the biggest lie.
And I think Sheena is probably the most mad that Lala kind of, like Lala's living the life that like Sheena wanted to have for herself.
Exactly. She thought she got a ticket on the Rob train and that just derailed. But honey, I remember when we were sitting in his mansion, which, side note, how the fuck did he get that mansion? Very unclear.
That was like a rental. That was an Airbnb. There was nothing in there. Very, I'm not buying it.
Very suspicious. I don't trust Rob for a second. But, I mean, when she was just like, I mean, this is the life that I always wanted.
I think she was really in love with Rob. And I think she thought that that was going to work out, which is sad because it's like,
I think she would be in love with
like a turtle.
This West Elm carpet beneath our feet. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, I don't think that she cares who it is. I think she just wants to be in love and wants to get married. I don't think she gives a fuck, which is why she was so, she doesn't absorb anything that anyone clearly tells her when this man is like openly hostile to you, yet you're still thinking that he's like in love with you.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of Sheena. I just know that she, like, because she had, I mean, she kind of started the way that Lala started. Like, she was dating Eddie Cibrian, or like just out of that like affair with him, who was like the married, more powerful, like wealthy guy.
Recording
but also
music.
Law power, like with Eddie Cibrian. It's like, anyway, like aim higher, honey. But like, and then had her recording career, and now it's just like kind of all crashed and burned. And she's not invited on the PJ. And like, I feel
not like, invited on the PJ. That's what kills her.
Yeah. And I think that everything that Lala does, like Lala's entire like glow up process, stings. It cuts Sheena like a knife.
Her GUP glow up process, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely believe the same.
Lala says she pays for her music and she pays some of her rent and her car insurance.
That was weird about, she was like, I have a cap on my rent and it goes way over. I was very confused about the financials of that.
I feel like that means, from what I know about like arrangements, that like,
what do you know about arrangements?
I just know what I've read and stuff, and like what you can like arrange with like a benefactor, and you can say like a cap on the rent is like, I'll pay up to like $2,000 of your rent every month. So you probably with Lala, it's like she gets the like up to like 2,000. So she's renting a place that's like 4,000 because it's right. Like she gets half of that paid for. I think that that's like what that meant.
When is she going to move in though? Is my question.
Well, I think that they are like building a house or something right now. I think.
Deep twist.
She's like on her fucking game.
Yes, honey.
I'm into it. I hope Randall is on the show next season.
She was in the most powerful chair on the left side of the screen.
Yeah. Left and right next to Andy.
Yeah.
He's sandwiched between Lala and Lisa. The hierarchy has been fully established.
Fully flipped.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's incredible.
It's incredible.
Because now everyone just like kisses her ass. They know on the show.
I know
too.
The chorus of "He's a really great guy." He's about really her great. Man.
Oh,
really great. Guy.
Oh, I love Randall. Oh, love yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he holds the ultimate. He holds the power to legitimacy, which all of them so desperately seek.
Yeah, they know where their bread's buttered, and it's not with any of their current relationships, and it certainly is not from being trash fires on this show. Like they need that connection to Lala.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sheena can, like, play nice anymore. Like, I'm ready. I need Sheena. Like, what I'm getting from her now, where she's, like, resentful and, like, rageful, is exactly what I need more of.
Lol.
I need Sheena to go, like, full rage out. Like, I want her to Hulk out next season. Sheena's Revenge.
Oh, okay. Sheena's Revenge.
Yeah, like, yes. I'm here for that.
Yeah, well, you can see, I mean, the Hulk bubbling beneath.
Oh, yeah, she is, like...
She's got, like,
she's
untapped
mad.
Wells of, like, rage and repression.
Yeah.
Side note, my college, just to bring it back to musical theater.
Yeah, bring it
my
back.
My college dance teacher's name was Diane Lala. Yes.
Wow. Were you feeling her?
Absolutely not.
No.
I hope she's not listening to this.
You weren't feeling her in the sense of her teaching abilities? Or
she was the opposite of Lala on Vanderpump. She was just checked out, honey. Did not care. Hadn't choreographed anything new since like 1985. Like, her choreography was just like frozen in the 80s, honey.
What is 80s choreography? Is it lots of jazz hands?
It's just
or like a jazzercise vibe. Like,
yeah, it feels more jazzercise. It feels more like aerobics than like beauty.
Okay. Yeah. That's a no feeling. Things.
It's a no feeling zone, yeah. Especially when delivered by Diane Lala.
Diane Lala. Lala says she's in an i8 today, and I don't know what that is. That's like the kind of car she was driving. I thought it was a Lambo.
She dropped that like we were supposed to get it. I think it might be like for, like, you have to be like really rich to know what that means.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's maybe just like a super rich car thing that like normal people wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I felt like I had a pretty good knowledge of cars, and then that told me that I didn't.
Well, on Real Housewives this season, Erica and Dorit went test driving some, like, the most expensive car ever, and I don't remember what it's called, so this is worthless, but I feel like it could be an i8, or if not, it was, like, another, like, rich person's car that, like, normal people who, like, don't care about cars, like, don't know about.
Sandoval knew what it was, though, and he goes, that's not yours, and she was like, yeah, it is, and I love, like, because I think that the girls do a better job of, like, hiding any sort of jealousy, because it's just, like, women are smarter, and they know that that's, like, not the way to, like, get to Rand. And
Rand Paul. But what, like, if it was really Rand Paul this
whole
time?
What if it was Rand Paul, and Randall Emmett is just, like, a front for Lala's, like, ongoing affair with Rand Paul?
Lol. G-O-P, honey. G-U-P from G-U-P to G-O-P.
I love seeing Sandoval get jealous. And then Lala says it is her car, and she has it for a few months just to dink around in. I love.
Just like answering his real jealousy with just like a casual, oh, whatever. It's just mine for a few months to dink around with. I don't even care about it.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate power move. Whenever you have like an object of like true luxury to just like throw it around or like throw it in the dirt. Like you get like a new, you get like a beautiful handbag, and then you're just like, just throw it in the corner.
This
and you're
piece
just, like,
of trash.
Anyways,
care.
Treating nice things like trash
is true. Luxury.
The true luxury and the true sign of a luxurious human.
Yeah, which means Lala has achieved it.
Yeah.
Just dinking it up.
Lisa has a moment where she's like, or Lala compares herself to Lisa. And then Lisa has this moment where she like corrects Lala and she's like, no, I work for what I have. And it's like, fuck off, Lisa. You like sucked Ken's dick like when you were 21 years old and he was like 60. Like, so it is not like, yeah, you work for what you have now, but like, I doubt that that was always the power dynamic between the two of you.
Yeah. And even,
and you've joked about as much, like, she said that as like a joke that,
and
she,
even if she has worked for everything. So Lala's, let me get this straight. Lala's not working by being on a reality show, working at a restaurant, and recording music. I'm confused as to how that counts as not working for what she's doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's, and like, she's providing like a service. You know what I mean? Like, she's like a loyal girlfriend, and like, they probably have like a very satisfying like sex life, and like, she's doing something and then getting something in return. So I don't see what's wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It'd be one thing if she was like, oh, I love him so much and I don't even care about any of this money.
Yeah.
Like, she's just being fully upfront. I love him so much and I care about all this money and I'm glad to have it.
Yeah. And anyone who like hates on her is just a jealous.
But again, she also is, I believe that she's working hard.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, yes, she's not paying for PJs with her Vanderpump Rules money and
she's being fucking smart and using this relationship in order to like benefit herself in the long run.
Yeah.
She's probably saving a ton of money, like paying for rent. Like when all the bills and the shopping are taken care of, you can make a little nest egg.
Yeah.
Which I hope she's doing. Pray.
Yeah.
Because honey, you don't want to end up without a nest egg.
Yeah.
You don't want to go through this whole process and have it not work out. And then you just like don't have a backup plan.
His chances of it not working out could be strong.
Ho tactics. You have to be smart with the money. Use what you got to get what you want and then be smart about it.
Before what you got is gone.
Yeah. Lala calls out James because James is always like shitting on her for having like a guy pay her rent. And then we get to find out who James has been living with.
Oh my God.
And it's Paul.
Terrifying. They didn't catch the Golden State Killer. It's actually just Paul.
Paul, who's been low-key hanging out.
Murdering people.
West Hollywood, in between murders. Comes back and chills with James Kennedy and asks him if he can go to dinner with him. And then James is like, no.
No. Which, and then I'm like, well, so why are you even roommates with a serial killer? Like, you
it makes
have
no sense.
Enough money to have your own place. Like, do you like sleeping behind, like, a partition on a mattress, on a floor? I truly don't understand.
I get the impression that Paul is not there very often. Like,
right.
He goes back and forth. According to James, he goes back and forth between LA and San Francisco. So
to
I think that
people.
He's, yeah, but I think
he's
I was getting like a gay
this
vibe.
Week in
from
SF.
Him.
Definite gay vibe.
Yeah. And then he just likes to have like a sexy DJ around, like, and it's one of those things where it's kind of like a findom.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I would not disagree with any of that. I feel like this gay serial killer is like kind of like loving having this little twink around who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but he is. And
maybe bi.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he's probably bi. Because
sexuality is a TBD.
Yeah, sexuality TBD, but I'm confused as to what James really gets out of it.
Well, he gets a place to live. He gets like doesn't have to pay for as much rent.
You sleep on, I
and he
how
can like work
he?
And do his music and like spend his money on like expensive equipment and stuff. He's 27 or 28, maybe.
I mean, I guess maybe if you're 27, I could see how like you'd be fine. Like, just sleeping on a mattress in a gay serial killer's West Hollywood apartment. But, like, I feel like once you get a little bit older, that is going to get real tired. And you're just going to want to, like, spend $2,500, get yourself a studio. It's going to be fine.
What throws me a little bit, too.
Because he must make so much money from the show at this point.
At this point, he's probably making real money from the show, yeah. But, like, having a girlfriend... Like, and then being like,
oh my God, fucking her on the floor of a gay serial killer's apartment.
Yeah.
Not cute.
But I think Raquel might be the perfect girlfriend to have in that situation because she probably does not know. She probably just thinks that's the master bedroom.
Yeah. She's just like, what? Gay serial killer? Sure.
She's like, James lives in a studio and there's no walls.
I feel like James just needs to be with someone that stupid to just not see the reality of his existence.
Yeah. So that was a very like murky moment where we got a murky tease moment, but then no real explanation.
A tease of the darkness. I was like, honey, I want to see that spinoff.
Yeah.
American Crime Story, season 3.
And then Paul tells James that he probably owes him a dinner, too. Did you catch that? When he's like, do you want to go to dinner? Like, I probably owe you a dinner. Which is like,
Wait, that is weird. Yeah. I did not catch that. Oh my God.
I bet Paul is just like, if you spend time with me, I'll pay your rent. Like, so if we go out to dinner, like, and we talk for like an hour, like, it's like a kind of,
but
it's
then
a mutually
how does
beneficial.
Paul owe James a dinner. Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like,
but that's the findom of it all, where they owe you. If you're the, if they're like the financially submissive one and you're the financially dominant one,
right,
then they owe you everything. So you can be like, where's my fucking dinner? Get me dinner or else I'm going to tell everyone you have a tiny little penis.
Oh my God.
Which is truly the career that I need to have.
Yeah.
This is like really calling and demanding things.
And demanding dinners.
Demanding dinners and then threatening if I don't get them.
Yeah. I feel like that is probably true, regardless of whether he's actually a serial killer. He's definitely gay. And I feel like he probably has a little thing or big thing for James, but James also has like daddy issues.
Yeah. So I think it's, it ties into that too.
And he's gay. So just like,
he's gay.
He wants
and
a like, gay daddy.
And his chains were very reminiscent of James's London gangsta's dad's chains.
Yes.
So
no,
I was
true.
Like noting some similarity. It was just like, it's not daddy. Great, but it's great TV.
That's true.
James and Lala are at odds because he keeps calling her man fat and then apologizing for it and calling him fat again. And then Lala's like, you're dismissed. And I really liked that. I like their tension, but it also makes me sad because I'm like, James is clearly in love with Lala.
Oh, so in love with Lala. And but Lala has this weird fantasy of him as the white Kanye. Which also it was very
anymore.
Poorly timed. Didn't she say white Kanye on...
No, she was like, my man is white Kanye, you're white Ray J.
Honey, Kanye is white Kanye at this point. New
Kanye
simile.
Is white Kanye.
I don't think Kanye is also someone you want to be... Well, I guess this was recorded before his meltdown.
Yeah, but like...
Right?
I think it's still cool. I think Kanye West is still cool. That might be polarizing, but it's my truth. He's my Gemini sister.
Oh, what a
and
dark
I
sister.
Feel for his mental health problems, so.
I know, but mental illness doesn't make you a complete asshole.
No.
Anyways. The point is, weird comparison to make, but I guess she made it before his meltdown. Regardless, I'm always just like, but is he though? And also how, I'm sorry, this was last week's, but I was just very confused by that analogy, as was literally everyone else on set. I was like, when it happened, I was just like, wait, what?
Wait, the white Ray J versus yeah. white Kanye? Because Ray J and Kim had the sex tape.
Right.
And Ray J had a song that said, I hit it first. So that's why, and James Kennedy and Lala had sex. So that's why he's the white Ray J.
But
I don't understand how that's confusing.
No, I get that, but she had previously called him the white Kanye.
No, James called himself white Kanye.
Oh.
James bestowed that honor on himself and was always referring to himself as white Kanye. For years, he's called himself white Kanye.
Okay. That
so, Lala,
is where I got lost.
Okay.
I thought that
I'm happy
Lala
to clear this up
had,
for you.
Thank you. This is a very important moment for me.
So Lala has now demoted James and taken away his self-prescribed white Kanye label. And she says, no, no, no. My man is white Kanye. You're white
Ray
J. Yeah. And so that's like where everything stands now.
Okay. Thank you. That helps clear it up.
Yeah. And there's nothing white Kanye hates more than being demoted to white Ray J. So it's a real burn.
And there's nothing he loves more than Lala.
Yeah, he's in love with her.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
We get a flashback to the fuck Jax party that everyone threw Britney, which was one of my favorite moments of the season because of the buffet of food that they had there.
And the pinata with Jax's face on, which I missed during the initial episode.
They didn't really have that much of a moment. Like, there was a little bit of like them hitting the pinata and like Sheena was wasted. And then Kristen was like, there was a really iconic moment. I think it happened more during like a preview of the episode, but where like, Britney's hitting the pinata, everyone's like screaming, and then in the background, Kristen's like dancing by herself. And it was like really, it was dancing a really good drunk
metaphor for who she is and her role in like, this journey.
That party was just an excuse to like binge drink, like pour shots of tequila into each other's mouths and eat like crab legs that got delivered via Postmates, which is like a true non.
Everything they do is an excuse to binge drink.
Yeah. Britt thanks the girls for being there, but then Jax butts in. He's like, yes, thank you so much for being there. And I'm just like, you're fucking gross.
Don't
like,
trust you for a second.
Don't trust you for a second.
Don't trust
like,
you for a second.
Everything he does is a manipulation.
I mean, his new thing is owning up to everything, but I'm just like, don't trust it.
No.
Sounds great, but let's see.
Yeah.
We'll see about you, Jax.
Also, Jax is lying about sleeping with Faith only one time. Like, I'm
that's weird.
That.
I was like, who was it? Who was it? Ariana?
Ariana said, yeah, she said that it happened multiple times, according to Faith, who had told James that. And like, prior to finding out that he had slept with Faith, like him confirming that he'd done that, Brittany had a moment this season where she was like, I mean, I came home once and there were eyelashes on the countertops. And like, he's fucked like multiple people. So I don't understand why, like, he is a liar. He's like, he's just a liar. He cannot be honest. Liar.
And
you would think that in this situation, you would just use it to like waterfall, tell the truth and just get everything out on the table.
No, but he's like a wily little sneaky sneakster.
He's like, it's just that one time and like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, who is buying? Like, is Brittany really buying this? No.
You're probably fucking an entire team of hospice nurses.
Yeah. And he's like swearing on his dad, which is just such like, lest we forget, ooh, Kristen swore on like some relative of hers when she was trying to say that she didn't fuck Jax. So I'm no stranger to people swearing on dead people to like prove that they're not lying when they are in fact lying.
He is definitely lying. He definitely fucked her more than once.
Lisa starts blaming Faith. She was like, well, she was chasing him and like blah blah blah, which is like, I'm sick of this like anti-Faith narrative.
I completely agree. Justice for Faith.
Justice for Faith.
Where was Faith on the reunion to speak her own truth about this?
She's on her MTV show.
Where
now.
Was the dying woman?
Yeah.
I want to hear from her.
I need to hear from that woman's
truth.
Family. Yeah.
Unless she's dead. Which
and
is
she
possible.
Could not. She might no longer be with us.
Oh my God.
I love that one of
your
her
last moments, you're just hearing Jax and Faith having sex. So sad.
Part of her legacy, like you would hope, one would hope that you get older and older, and then as your body starts to wither away, like you have family or friends to like help you transition into death, and you do so peacefully. I truly hope that none of us ever have to go through an experience of holding up in a D-lister reality star's apartment and then hearing a Jax Taylor type come over and just like fuck their brains out while you're like on your deathbed.
I pray a better fate for all of us.
Yeah.
Unless you were a fan of the show, in which case, great.
I'm truly like, this makes me feel like I need to have children so that they end up taking care of me and I don't end up in like an old lady in Faith's apartment situation.
Reality hospice orgy situation.
Yeah. Like, I really don't want that for myself. Yeah.
But back to what you're saying, though, this was, this was part of a larger, and I'm sure we're getting to the rest of it, disturbing trend of blaming women for terrible things that men do. On this show. It was just like, actually, I think that Jax was probably the one who pursued Faith, and regardless, even if she was pursuing him, he should say no because he's in a relationship. It is not Faith's fault.
No, it's crazy, it's not Faith's fault. And like to say, it's like, it doesn't matter. He's the one in the relationship.
Yeah.
To just like say exactly what you just said.
You're like, I see what you're saying, but this is how I see it.
Yeah. And then they get into like the recording of it all. And Sandoval is still maintaining that he just thinks it was the worst time during the housewarming party. It's just not the right time to like play the recording. Yeah. And it's like, shut the fuck up, Sandoval. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. And that's also not the point.
And then, also, all you guys do is binge drink at parties. So when else are they going to bring it up?
Yeah.
If not at a party where you're binge drinking.
I know. Like, I'd rather hear that tape if I was drunk as opposed to, like, brutally hungover the next day. So maybe it was the right time. And Lala goes off. And then she's like, was the right time? Is there a right time for sticking your dick in someone that's not your girlfriend? Which I
very,
love.
A very good comeback.
Yeah. And I just like, yeah, Sandoval's like doubling down on that part of everything.
All the
like,
men are deeply problematic and it just bubbles up in little tiny ways.
Mm-hmm. Little glimpses
of toxic masculinity.
And even when you think that like they've gone through like learning experiences and they're like a little more woke, you still get like moments of the show where they're like, oh, Faith was chasing him, and everyone's like, yeah, fuck Faith, and like, ugh, you realize that they haven't come that far.
It's so terrifying
yeah
to see the inside of that world.
And also
something
it's like
I don't normally see in my day-to-day life.
They love putting a woman on blast who can't actually be there to speak her truth. It's one of their favorites. Katie is eating her words because she talks shit on Lala's PJ, and then lo and behold, give it a few months and she was Instagramming from that PJ herself.
Sipping BMs on the PJ.
Yeah, and I remember seeing... sipping ice cold bowel movements on the PJ. But I remember seeing that Instagram and I was just like, this is fucking interesting. And then that was the moment that I really did realize, I was like, okay, now the tables have turned. Lala's in the power position, and
Lala's,
you either
kind of pulling a Bethany.
Yeah, she definitely is.
From going from the person that everyone is shitting on to like the ultimate sitting in the most powerful reunion chair.
Mm-hmm. And Sheena has another shade where Andy's like, what changed your mind about like your staunch stance on like never getting on the PJ unless it's like you've bought it? And then Sheena's like, an invitation. And I just love
okay,
Sheena's
aside. A pre-Hulk aside.
The Hulk is coming.
Yeah. Oh my God. Lol, an invitation. I have to say, for someone who's not normally known for their wit, she did have a few good zingers on this app.
She did. And then she proceeded to just read Katie to filth. I love when they bring up, like, because I was happy to see Sheena being like, Katie was coming off of a really bad season where she like looked bad and got a lot of online hate. And now she's trying to present as this like zen, like blah, blah, blah.
I love everything.
Yeah. Everyone. And like, I was like, amen. Like that, there is an element of that. Like, I don't necessarily doubt or like Katie's transformation from being like depressed monster to like less depressed. But like, I do think that her transformation from this, it's like the timing is very interesting.
Yeah, a calculated reality performance.
Yeah.
When you
and like just trying to like rebrand
and adjust your performance accordingly.
Yeah. So I'm living for Sheena because then everyone Katie's like, no, that's something you would do. And it's like, no, bitch, it takes one to fucking know one, which is like, there's truth on both sides. Like, that is something Sheena would do, but that's why she can call it out.
Yeah.
And then everyone starts like yelling at Sheena, and then Sheena just goes, too many people talking at once. And then just stops talking.
Which is also true. Another excellent and well-timed read. She waited till everyone stopped talking to say that.
Yeah, I live. Katie immediately, they bring up the whole like Schwartz making out with that other girl. And then Katie blames that girl. She's like, I knew her. We went to high school together and she knew who I was, like followed him on Instagram. Like, it's like, okay, so what?
Cool, tight. Your husband is a terrible person.
Yeah.
And he just has this like kind of goofball, like poof, whenever anyone brings up his like fucking infidelities, he just like turns into this like, what, me, floppy hair, do you know what I mean? I don't know, he never takes accountability. Even though he said this week is like and it is still my fault, it's like the fucking stupid like I don't remember excuse. I'm so over it. First of all, stop fucking binge drinking if you truly don't remember. Second of all, give me a goddamn break, regardless of whether you remember or not. You still fucking cheated, you stupid asshole.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
If every time something bad happens, you do something bad, and then your excuse every time is like, I don't remember, I was just like totally blacked out, just to like set the record straight. It's like, that's a problem then.
You
like,
are an alcoholic.
You're an alcoholic and you need to stop drinking. Like, yes. It's like not that difficult to put two and two together. And then everyone's like, Katie got over it fast. Why? And I really think at this point, like, I think she was like media trained in between last season and this season.
Cutting her losses, honey.
Yeah, because it's like she actually cannot afford to be like as much of a psycho as she was last season. And so, and also it's like, I'm sure that they have it out behind closed doors and off camera.
Yeah.
And like now that there's a rule of like, we're going to have like a moment of, we're going to have total solidarity on screen, and then like we'll handle the mess like off screen.
Which, oh, so dark,
proves like a moment that proves that theory for me at least. Uh-huh. Is like he started to say something like about the cheating or whatever. He was like, we're going through like a tough period or like blah blah blah, and then she turns to him and she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh,
like,
my God.
And has like a little aside like shush moment to him.
Well, I will also say in the actual season itself, their moment of like miraculous transformation kitchen dancing came out of the motherfucking blue. It was attached to no other storyline.
Yeah,
it was literally all of a sudden she was like, I was really depressed and now I'm not. I thought we were like at the beginning of like a, oh, this is going to be her depression storyline. Instead it was just like, I was depressed, now I'm perfectly healed, everything's great, isn't our relationship wonderful?
Yeah,
we're gonna dance in the kitchen. No lead up, no follow through.
No.
Just one scene.
No explanation of anything that she did to like even get to this point. Like, yeah. It's just like, no being like, oh, I went to therapy and then I really need to work through this and yeah. I got on like medication and like, well, it's just like, I was depressed and so evil and now I'm not anymore. Yay. Yay me. And it's like, okay, no, wait, like I want to know like the journey.
Yeah.
Like, what is the journey?
I don't know. Their journey is a dark one.
It's
but
dark.
She, I think, has just gotten to the point where she will just, like, she didn't get angry at him for his affair because maybe she's just given up. It's actually very sad.
I think it's a combination of giving up and then just not wanting to look bad anymore. And so it's like, she'll just shove it all down. But what's fucked up is, like, when she says stuff, like, she's like, you know, I realize life is short and like you never know what's gonna happen and like thinking about the long term, and then Schwartz is like, she's so sexy when she talks like that, and it's like,
oh, so
reinforcing
dark.
This like horrible thing that's like, don't ever, she's so
question
sexy
me.
When she never says what she truly feels.
Yeah,
and she's so sexy when she pretends not to be mad, and it's like, because I just don't buy that she like wasn't pissed about that girl.
Yeah, and
I think
she
that they probably
be.
Had like a whole thing happen,
and she should be pissed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he is the worst.
He's the worst.
Anyway,
he was saying he. I felt like a possum's prick, and then everyone was like, "What? A possum's prick?"
Katie was like, "A possum's prick.
A possum's prick."
As if this is something that people say.
Yeah, I feel like Brittany knew though. She was like, "I know that. I know that animal,
possum.
Y'all."
What's a possum?
We got lots of possums on the farm. And then Tom Schwartz says, Tom Schwartz says, "I love falling apart in moderation. It's good for the soul." That means,
as opposed to fully falling apart.
Yeah, like no, actually, that's probably pretty
terrible
bad
for your soul.
You've spent years. Like, it's safe to say that the last 10 years of his life have been the process of him falling apart.
And I would say that completely falling apart is actually what you need to hit rock bottom, realize you're an alcoholic who cheats on his wife like an asshole.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I feel like we're going to get that full fall apart next season. My fingers are crossed that we get
it. I mean, yes, he should hit rock bottom. And even like Lisa is constantly on it. Like, I mean, I that whole manufactured storyline about the Tom and the business meetings. But
yeah.
Even still, she's like, you are an asshole who's irresponsible and gets blackout drunk. I can't have this as a business partner. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, you can.
No, you absolutely can't. But it's also like, what are you talking about, Lisa? You haven't cashed any of the checks. So like,
oh,
you're
God.
Just speaking in like,
that's
what if
weird.
Terms. Yeah,
yeah,
it's weird.
The whole, I don't know. She's like, that's a, Tom is very weird.
Yeah, but everyone said, or Katie says that Tom Schwartz is fine because he's like doing a lot better because he's not drinking shots right now. I love it.
I love that's their line.
Yeah, they think that like you're really cleaning up your act yeah. If you're not drinking shots.
If you're just not doing shots at dinner or
you
before
know,
dinner.
And I haven't been doing any shots, and I can say that I'm in a pretty good place too. So.
oh my God, he's not doing shots basically means you're sober in the universe of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. Then they do like an exercise and Schwartz can't turn down the shot when Andy does like pretend. And it's just like, you're such,
God.
I hate the act. I can't take this like little silly guy
little
act.
Silly guy.
I'll you're probably... fucking married. You're 36 years old and married. Like you're not, it's not cute anymore.
But also the act, I also believe that he would actually just take that shot.
Yeah. Oh, he would. That's like him reacting honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. How much, I don't know how much he was actually playing.
No,
I
think he's definitely not
just
playing.
Would take the shot.
Yeah, but he also just doesn't know. He's so dumb. He like doesn't know any better than to be like, yeah. No, thank. Like, it's yeah.
Oh my God.
We such segue into Stassi's stupid basement birthday.
That birthday was the most disgusting birthday I have ever seen in my life.
It took place in just an empty dungeon with like a couple, like everyone's like, you went to the prop store and you really turned it out. It's like, no, you bought like weird three electronic like props and had a ranch fountain, and then 10 people showed up to your birthday
also,
party.
Also, you turn your birthday party, a celebration of your birth, into a celebration of death.
I like where our head's at with that. Like, I appreciate like the theme, but I just feel like it was very lazily executed.
It was just disgusting. I mean, I also like just don't like Halloween, so that's my thing. But I was so grossed out. Also, like, she thinks it's funny. I think she thinks it's cute.
She thinks it's really funny.
Obsessed with murder. I think that she thinks that saying shocking things about like death and murder means she has a sense of humor, when in fact she is one of the most humorless people I've ever witnessed and has never said a funny thing in her life.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry.
Reed.
But it's so weird. It's
welcome
like,
to the Jonathan Parks Ramage reading hour.
To remember, this is going to be public. But I don't know. But it's just like she says all these terrible, offensive things, and it's just like, no, you're not being funny. You're just being just kind of gross. And like, it's the same thing with her party. I was like, you didn't actually pull this off.
No,
you just.
It's a very half-assed attempt at a party.
Gross.
And then also like, that party cost them a lot of money. Like, Katie and Kristen picked up the bar tab or whatever because Stassi ran away. And I'm like, for that kind of money, you could have just gone on vacation somewhere and, like, had a fun birthday.
Yeah, done something chic.
It's really weird.
Instead
then
a basement bar with, like, a shitty, gross, screaming horror statue thing.
Yeah, and, like, Domino's pizza and a ranch fountain.
Oh, God, the ranch fountain.
It's just like a really, it's
ooh,
on
yeah, it's
brand.
All coming back to me.
Even
it's...
when they try, it just never, it just never comes together.
Oh, God.
There's no mention of Stassi's statement when she was like, it was too much Adderall and tequila. Like, why she like had that freak out moment. Like, I believe that the Patrick being there like threw her into a tizzy, but like also, it's just interesting that like no one brings up kind of like the drugs. Like they have a light, just no one talks about substance abuse issues in like a very serious way.
Because I feel like it's the basis of every social interaction is abusing substances. So I feel like it doesn't occur to them. They don't have the self-awareness to realize that that's the truth.
Kristen and Katie do have a different relationship with Stassi now. Like when Andy was like, you didn't chase after her. And they're like, no, like, blah, blah, blah. After rewatching season one and seeing how they act towards her, which is like they're terrified of her and like do everything she says. Like she is the boss of them. It's shocking to see.
Wow.
But now it is different. So I was like, oh, there is some growth there.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was glad when they didn't go after her because she was being a fucking asshole.
Yeah, she was being an idiot.
She's being an idiot, yeah.
Kristen and Katie, oh no. James hasn't gotten any money from George Michael's estate yet.
Wait, and why should he? Sorry.
He was his godson. And when George Michael died, he like left all his money to his godchildren. And so I guess it's like tied up in like legal whatever.
Oh, I must have been texting during this part of the reunion.
Sorry. Missed it.
wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So like
asleep on my feet.
I know. So James, I guess, is like owed. I mean, I'm sure that kind of stuff just takes forever to work out. Like,
yeah.
Whenever a celebrity dies and like,
so whose dad really was like the real deal.
Yeah. Lisa attested. She was like, they were running all over London together, like attached to the hip. And then everyone alludes to like this awful time period that James's parents went through, like pre-divorce. And then they got divorced. Like, things went really south for everyone.
I do feel bad about it. He seems like he has a lot of daddy issues, but
he has two hot brothers.
He has two hot. It's just like a family of hot twinks. I mean, no wonder George Michael was his godfather. Honey.
Family of hot twinks.
Hot twinks. We're in the age of the twink, according to the New York Times.
Yeah.
And James Kennedy is part of the twink wave.
Yeah, he is part of the twink wave. Kristen says she like weighs in on James's vulnerability factor. And she alludes to his parents putting a ton of pressure on him and his brothers. Like, and I mean, his parents, we've seen both of them on the show. They're like truly messy.
Oh, his dad is all sore. It's just like, I'm drunk, you know. Blah,
yeah. Blah. And then his mom is like a psycho person.
Yeah.
So it's like he's set up. He has the odds are stacked against him in order to succeed.
Stability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
he didn't deny when Kristen said that. I mean, I feel like that was a pretty accurate.
It was a good read. And then I just feel for him. Like, I like knowing. Yeah. It's so like humanizing and makes people much less hateable once they like share what it is they're actually going through.
Yeah, no, I agree. When he shared that stuff with his dad, I was like, oh, that's real, honey. I'm so sorry.
And like, I don't know if this is me. I don't know if this is like my own. I don't think it is. I was going to say my own like form of internalized misogyny where it's like, I have empathy for James and like a lot less empathy for like Brittany and Katie, because it's like, I do have empathy for Katie and I like, cause I identify with like a depression journey, but like not, it's like not, we don't know anything. You know what I mean? With James, I feel like we don't know the whole story, but we know enough to like understand what's happening. And there was like an arc to it and whatever.
Yeah.
And like with Katie and Brittany, it's like, they're not being 100% honest and you can kind of tell.
That's interesting.
And like Lala is being, I think, very honest about her journey. And that's why she's like, I'm more chill with her.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the ease with which Brittany's mother forgave Jax, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It just made me wonder about like the patterns of
the ladies' cart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just made me wonder. And the attitudes towards men and abuse and I don't know. But we don't know.
Yeah.
It's true.
We don't know.
But I feel like I can assume enough that it's just clear that there are not great models for Brittany maybe to latch onto in terms of what a healthy relationship looks like. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she probably has like kind of an absent father. And then this precedent, I think like the mom really feels attached to Jax mostly because he paid for like Brittany's sister's like IVF or Brittany's brother's wife's IVF. So it's like anything he does like has to be, it's like they're always indebted to him for that.
And I also feel like there's like this pressure, I think, that Brittany feels to get married, to have kids. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's very much, which is, of course, relatable, but I feel like she's maybe overlooking Jax's flaws to get to the finish line.
Sheena is defending herself with, like, the Adam setup of it all, and she says she just wanted Brittany to see that there are other guys out there.
Which is also just, I mean, I was like, Sheena, honey, there's footage which says you say the exact opposite thing.
Yeah.
Saying that you're gonna fuck with Jax's relationship.
I know, just own it.
Yeah, it's like, you
I don't
can't,
get
not,
what,
she's like, well, we all say a lot of things in the interviews, and it's like, well, honey, if you don't, At this point,
the jig is up.
You know exactly what the game is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't pretend like you don't know the rules all of a sudden.
And you might as well just be like, yeah, I wanted to fuck with him, but then I also wanted that. And then it's like all out there and it's fine.
Yeah.
And then I think Adam, he comes off to me as gay, but maybe everyone does. I just like
I wouldn't be surprised. Ooh, next season, James and Adam.
And that's Logan.
That's just
Logie.
Logan, I don't know. We're in the age of the twink, but we're not that desperate.
And then Andy asks Brittany if she thinks Adam is cute. And she's like, yeah, I think he's cute. And then Lala goes, who wants to fuck a cute guy? Which I'm, and then Andy's like,
lol.
I do.
Yeah. Lol. That was a bit of like, I feel like a Sheena denial. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I hate presents. I don't like being told compliments. I don't like hearing I love you. It was literally just like, no one likes fucking attractive people. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, what?
I think a lot
of people want to fuck cute guys.
I got kind of what she was going, like trying to say, which is like, you don't want to fuck like a cutesy guy. But yeah. Like, I think most people want to fuck cute guys.
Yeah, like most people like fucking cute people. It's why there are 8 million Instagram thirst trap accounts.
Not Lala, though.
Not Lala. Thinks it's crazy.
A cute guy. She wants to fuck.
Hates attractive people.
Man.
Men are all ugly, apparently.
Yeah, well.
A true man is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that her man is. I don't even know what he looks like.
Well, you can Google him. Billy Lee joins in and everyone loses their shit. They welcome her the way, like, I think it's amazing that Billy Lee is on the show. I'm all for like trans awareness and visibility. Like, kudos to that. Kudos to Vanderpump Rules for going there. Like, I'm
from 0 to 60. There were no gay people, and then all of a sudden they're like, actually, we're gonna put in a trans person in the mix.
I think that's great and a very positive thing. But agreed. The way that everyone is so extra about it on the show and like so self-congratulatory, and like Billy Lee comes on and Kristen does like this kiss blowing. She's like with two hands kiss blowing, and everyone is like applauding. It's like, okay, we get it. Like,
I don't believe they're being authentic.
No,
it feels like she's being used as a token.
Yeah, and diversity. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
But I'm here for Billy Lee being on. I think that
it's
a great thing for representation. It's a great thing to bring it into that show, which is just an otherwise sea of toxic heterosexuality. Mm-hmm. I mean, to kind of break up that narrative and shake people out of their toxic heterosexuality comfort zones, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and I think she's gonna bring it. Like, she's gonna be good TV. Like, I want to watch her.
No, I'm here for Billy.
But also,
I'm vegan boo.
No, I'm vegan boo.
Oh my god. But speaking of him,
well, oh yeah, we get into the Jeremy creepiness, which he was like, that footage that they showed of him doing that to Stassi was like truly creeptastic. Like, I've been in that situation with a guy before and it's fucking creepy as shit.
And again, the way that the narrative is spun by, I forget if it was Lisa or Andy, but is like, how did that make you feel, Billy Lee, when they said that about your date? And it's like, and then she was like, it made me feel bad. And it's like, they weren't saying that to make you feel uncomfortable, and that's not the right question to ask.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you deal with the fact that someone who's been accused of something bad is the person you're going on a date with? Does that not give you pause? I don't know. It was just the wrong question to ask. And then I ended on like, yeah, I felt bad. And everyone's like, we're sorry we made you feel bad. And it's like,
but it's like, that's not like, I would want someone to be like, yeah, that person is creepy. Like, I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd be like, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
And like, I'll keep that in mind, but I'm going to go and like do my thing.
Yeah. Not like, oh, I feel bad. I don't know. It was very weird.
It just seemed like that.
Good warning.
Yeah.
And there is actually footage to prove that he is creeping up on girls, at least in that.
Yeah. In that flashback, he very much was.
Yeah. It was not a good thing.
This entire, like, it shocks me the extent to which, like, all the kind of lessons about any sort of like
uncomfortable sexual dynamics are so, it's like no one can speak to them in a real way or a beneficial way for an audience. Like, obviously you and I are fucking smart, and so we can watch this and be like, no, that's like not the point of the whole like Billy Lee and Jeremy stuff. But like, what about impressionable
nitwits? There's no one on the inside
that are watching this and are like, yeah, fucking, like, it's like this show dodges every sort of like Me Too thing where they could really have an opportunity to like speak to that in a very real way.
I don't think that anyone on the show clearly is capable of speaking to it.
Yeah.
Including Lisa and Andy, TBH. Because no one, I mean, it's like a minefield again of like toxic masculinity, and no one is really able to articulate anything in a valuable way. And it just, I just feel like it's just scary to see like a subsection of the culture where like you realize that the Me Too movement is not having an impact on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like we hear about it in headlines all the time, but like the fact that this just goes unchecked and it's not even a part of the dialogue other than one offhanded joke that Jax makes.
Yeah.
Like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just not being absorbed.
No. And like opportunities to talk about real issues are like,
it's the wrong
brushed off.
Yeah. Or the complete wrong questions are asked.
Yeah. Turned back around and like, yeah. Ugh. Billie Lee shopped for her vagina in Thailand.
Yes.
And she watched a bunch of porn and then picked the prettiest vagina she could, which, like, I guess that's great for her. I don't guess. It is great for her.
Get you one.
It's just
that you like.
Yeah.
It was like, I wish they would have asked her.
Doesn't it seem
other questions than just like
they're
tell
like,
us about
tell us about your pussy?
Yeah, it's like
I just
you
like,
could ask her other questions.
Yeah,
I don't know. It feels like, which is fine, and if she wants to talk about it, great. But it does feel like, is that all you have to ask her?
Yeah, and I like maybe I'm off base here, but I view like inclusivity as being like just accepting like. If I was on that show and Billie Lee comes on, it's like I treat her like I would treat every other woman on the show.
Yeah.
Because like she is like my equal as a woman, and that's that. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like everyone is going so far out of their way to be like, Billie Lee, so brave, and tell us about your vagina. And like, it's just like really leaning into the trans of it all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In a way that feels tokenized.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
It doesn't feel authentic.
Yeah.
And again, it's like,
that's what she wants to talk about. And she's had this conversation with producers and like, she's chill
she wants
with
to talk
it.
About her vagina. Yeah.
But
I also feel like there are other questions you could ask her other than just tell me about your vagina. It's like, I feel like we've moved beyond that very kind of facile question when it comes to engaging the trans community.
Yeah. And there's an interesting moment too where Andy's like, you came into Sir as like a new hostess, and historically every woman that's come in her position has just gotten like raked over the coals by the other waiters and waitresses there. And they're like, but you didn't. Like, what's that about? And it's like, well, obviously no one's going to like go like talk so much shit about this, like the first ever like LGBTQIA like
person
cast
on
member
the
on the show.
Yeah.
Like they are monsters, but they're not like just like totally soulless monsters.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's like, honey, like come on.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm excited for Billie Lee next
Me
season.
Too.
I think like
she's
it's gonna
vegan,
be
boo.
She's vegan boo. Everyone then turns to go shit on Kelsey and comes for her, which was was additionally
again,
shocking to
Kelsey
me.
Kelsey not there to defend herself.
Not there to defend herself. And then Stassi has a moment where she weighs in. She's like, yeah, I thought that was really bullshit. Inappropriate. Everything she was saying was like so fucked up. And it's like, you say that because A, she's a woman and you hate other women. And B, she's telling the truth and none of you want to hear it. Which was Jax is trying to get out of this relationship. He didn't want to go to Mexico. Like he didn't want to be in any of those situations. And she's trying to tell him what any like smart person would say, which is like, you need to end this relationship that's causing someone else so much pain and causing you pain because you act like such a dick all the time. Yeah. Like, you're better off not in this relationship.
I feel like she weirdly actually was kind of transformational for Jax, at least in terms of giving him the talking points of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he...
And like a non-judgmental person that would like listen to him.
Yes, exactly. And was there a sexual element to it? Perhaps. I also feel like the producers like really leaned heavily on that storyline.
Yeah.
When maybe there wasn't, maybe there wasn't. And I do feel like Jax just wants to sleep with everyone, so probably there was. But like,
Jax immediately turned situation sexual with like his body language and his eyes. Like, he does that to everyone. It's not like... Someone emailed me and they were like, oh, Kelsey has like a husband she's like obsessed with, like blah, blah, blah. And also she's like featured on Goop. So I stand with Kelsey.
Yeah, I stand with Kelsey too. I feel like
she wasn't saying anything wrong. She was doing exactly what a Reiki master should be doing.
She doesn't do anything. Clearly, it was some of what she was saying was landing with Jackson. She doesn't do anything untoward. She never makes a move. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they kept on trying to imply this Ricky Master's doing evil stuff. Yeah. But like,
it's like
she never actually did anything outside of the realm of like acceptable behavior.
She literally did her job.
Yeah.
Like, Kelsey is not the problem here. The problem is Jax.
Again.
And Brittany and their relationship dynamic.
Like, oh,
and
yeah, this woman is terrible. It's like, no.
They're like, she's so inappropriate, that Ricky Master. I don't know what goes on in them Ricky sessions.
Ricky Martin.
I need to hear Brittany just calling it Ricky over and over. I need a ringtone of her being like, I don't know what goes on with that Ricky Master. So if one of the listeners want to make that for me, I would live for it. Jax says that... Oh, they talk about Kristen, like, flying Brittany's mom out and, like, if Jax felt, like, angry at that or whatever. And he says that he wanted to deal with the Brittany situation internally because he was convinced that her decisions would be, like, too influenced by other people around her. Like, he doesn't want anyone talking to him.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, like, this abuse. Is literally, like, the textbook definition of abuse.
Literally just, like, I want her all to myself. I want to just tell her my perspective because let her get any outside counseling or help. It's crazy.
Because
like,
he knows that he can manipulate her.
Yeah.
If he shuts her off from everyone else and then he knows exactly what to say. And it's like, it's disgusting.
They need like...
They need an intervention.
Actual real therapist to just join the staff at Sir
mm-hmm.
and read them all to filth. I don't know. There needs to be someone on the inside who's just like...
Who tells it like it is.
A textbook definition of abuse. Like, it's crazy.
God, I would love to do, like, a show called Real Talk, where it's just, like, a professional person, like, interventionist, just, like, crashes the set of a reality show, and then is just, like, you're in an abusive relationship. You have a drinking problem. Like, says it, like, because the reunions are fun, because everyone... Like, they get into issues, but they don't really get into anything. Yeah. But, like, I do feel irritated when things like this are just glossed over because that is abusive. Like, if any of my friends, like, boyfriends were saying that kind of shit, I would be like, I'm calling 911.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brittany says... It's better than she took Jax back because it's better than holding grudges your whole life. You end up with tumors that way, not me. That is some Kentucky logic right there.
Oh, my God. You end up with tumors that way.
Not me.
Oh, my God. But I do believe that she probably believes that.
Yeah. Oh, she definitely does. Everyone laughs. They're like, yeah, amen.
Amen. No, again, it's just like, you end up with an abusive boyfriend that way.
Yeah, like I want to say it's complicated and that there's like nuance to their situation, but I don't think there is. I really think that they're just in like a
textbook
dark
abusive relationship.
Yeah. We get into Lala's tits out feminism, and then we have like the piece de resistance of this entire episode, which is where everyone decides to weigh in on what they think feminism means. And Lala thinks it means you just like, if you want to have your tits out, you have them out. You do you, boo.
And then she kind of backtracks and like tries to not. It's like after being like talking about feminism so much, and she kind of backtracks. Doesn't she like say she's like almost that she's like not a feminist?
Then Lisa weighs in and shits on Lala, and she's like, "Well, I don't think a lot of feminists would agree with you since you have your car paid for by a man." And then Lala's like, "Well, it's not like I'm blowing strangers for cars. I'm just blowing my man." And then. And then
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
You can be a feminist and then
Stassi goes. Andy asks Stassi what she thinks, and she's like, "Well, it's not my brand of feminism, but," and it's like, "Honey, we all know what your brand of feminism is,
Patrick.
Your brand of feminism is literally like victim blaming sexual assault survivors."
Oh my god!
And then. Oh. And then, yeah, and then Lala's like, "Well, I actually have never considered myself a feminist."
Just literally the very idea of feminism, just like watching it dissolve in front of your very eyes on the show.
Where no like, one's really getting
no
it right.
No one's really getting it right.
Yeah.
No one is really a feminist. And it is literally just the very idea. It just turns to mush.
It turns to mush. Ariana, she's like, "Well, if you want to do whatever with what you got, then whatever." And like, it's like feminism is just women being equal to men and like getting equal pay and equal treatment. Like that is what feminism is.
Oh,
and everyone
God.
Is confused. And then Jax just cherries on top with a me too. He goes, hashtag me too. And then it's just like, wow. As if we could like desecrate feminism even
more. Well, and he tries to be like, "Oh, what's wrong?" when everyone jumps on him for me like, "Jax, come on."
He's like, "I don't know what it means.
What does that mean? And it's like, "Oh,
I think Jax does not know what any current events are. Like, I don't think like he knows like about Syrian conflict or like the denuclearization of Korea, North Korea. Like, I think that Jax is probably in the dark about most things. I think most of them are.
I do agree with that, but I think that it is very hard to be a person who has a Facebook account in 2018 and not have an inkling of what hashtag me too means.
Yeah, I think Jax is just like, he's just like hockey, 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 booze, booze, booze. Me too. And then like just doesn't, like he just never really checked it out. He was like, "This is a thing that's going around. I like know about it, but I don't really know anything about it." Schwartz calls Katie a nightmare of a human being, which I'm like, I would not be okay with anyone with my significant.
In what context?
They start to get into Katie's like depression transformation, and then they're talking to Schwartz about it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's like, "I feel comfortable saying this because like we're on the other side, but like Katie was a nightmare of a human being," and it's like, that's still not okay to say. Like if my boyfriend said that on television, I'd be like. Yeah.
Thanks for your empathy and understanding when I was dealing with my intense depression.
Yeah, it's one thing to say nightmare of a human being. It's another thing to say like she was really struggling with like self-image and like blah
and
blah blah.
We went through a very rough patch.
Yeah.
Instead of saying literally she was a nightmare all of a human the blame being. To her.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she was a nightmare. And then having no self-reflection. He's the secret worst.
He's the worst. And also their relationship is just like crazy to me because he alludes to like for the past 5 years them having like a problematic relationship, and it's like if your relationship, I believe that if your relationship is a struggle day to day to just like get along and it's like years go by of like problems that you probably should just break up and find a new relationship. Like I don't subscribe to the idea. Like, I think relationships do take work, but I don't subscribe to an idea of dating someone that you're just like always in conflict with
on a day to day.
Yeah. And just dealing it with it for years. Yeah. No. Life's too short, to paraphrase Katie Maloney Schwartz. She gets into her Skylight story for the first time in a long time.
Skylight books, honey. Yeah, that story is...
like,
it's very sad.
It's very sad. But I love that she's like, I was at my friend's apartment and we were like, went up to the roof and I was like, hey, look at the skylight. And then I fell through it. And it's like, okay.
We're missing the chapter where there was probably binge drinking involved.
I think that there had to be some drunk, like, substance of some sort. She went on Stassi's podcast and said that she was having a photo shoot and then it happened. Like, she leaned on the skylight and it blah, blah, blah. But like, even last season, like, to me, it became very apparent that this accident, like, deeply affected her in like a very bad way. Like, yeah. I was saying that on the podcast, like over last season's like episodes, I was just like, this is like Skylight fallout. Like, yeah, everything.
Well,
like,
it's such a deeply traumatic experience.
It's a deeply traumatic experience. A brain injury, which will like fuck up your head,
your
literally
face.
And figure the face yeah. injury, and like a near death experience.
Yeah.
And she basically says that she just shoved it down and never talked about it again and tried to pretend that everything's fine. Mm. And like, that's sad. And I've also been through experiences like that, but it just goes to show that you like have to talk about these things that have, you can't let it go for like 2009. And it's almost 10 years have gone by and she's like just now kind of digging into it.
That's all these people just need therapists.
Yeah, they all need therapists.
They all need therapists.
They need like twice a week therapy and then for the show to end so they can just like
yeah.
really pick up the pieces of their life and like yeah. move on.
We will never fully pick up the pieces until the show is over.
Yeah. And then Kristen goes, Katie's like talking about her like recovery period and what everything. Kristen goes, you were full on Kanye West.
Oh.
Which is like... shiver me timbers, because
shiver me
as
timbers.
A Kanye fan, I don't appreciate that analogy.
Once again, bringing up your controversial continued Kanye fandom.
I know. Fandom. I know. I don't agree with anything he says.
No, obviously.
This is like actually now turning into a problematic thing because I'm realizing I'm just, yeah. Well, you can at me and I'll have a dialogue with you about the Kanye of it all if you're really fired up and offended by my love for him.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad that Katie's back to herself.
No, me too.
Yeah, like I like seeing her be like, I like myself, like I like myself and yeah. like blah, blah, blah.
I agree.
I remember in past seasons, like when she had Tequila Katie'd out, like I think it's season two where like people confront her about like, going to the dark side and then she's just like, I hate myself, like I hate myself, and it's just, it's so apparent, and it was so apparent last season. And so
oh, yeah,
maybe she when is in a better married. place.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. It seemed like she was in a better place this season.
Yeah, but I need details. I'm like, was it therapy, was it meds,
exactly.
like Again. what did you do?
Yeah, it was very confusing how yeah. she just all of a sudden at this new place.
Next week everyone walks off the show. Which I can't wait to see.
I can't wait. Well, it's like Sheena. I feel like walking off is the reunion power play because it makes it immediately all about you.
Mm-hmm. But I like that Sheena opened up the floodgates by walking off. But then next episode, Lala walks off and then Lisa tells Kristen to shut up. And then Kristen's like, are you serious? Then she walks off. And then I think Katie walks off. And then everyone's just like, wait, we all needed to walk off.
We all need to walk off.
Yeah.
I can't not walk off. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, it's like it's a walk off.
It's a walk off.
It's a walk off.
So stay tuned.
Oh my God, Ball.
Well, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
I'm glad we could get into it.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah. And I want to have group sex with James and all of his twink brothers.
Yeah, that would be hot. Incest, like Andy, when Andy was like, it was weird to see you laying out the croissants and the incest.
Honey, we know what porn you've been watching.
Honey, yeah. Oh, yes. Incest porn.
Incest
that could be
porn.
You with James
that
and his
could
brothers.
Be me. Yeah. Well, there you have it.
I love it. Tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at JP Ramage, Instagram, same handle.
JP Ramage.
Yes.
Is it JP Rampage?
It's JP Rampage on Twitter, JP Rampage on Instagram.
You're misleading the readers.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Here I thought we had justice after all.
I'm on a rampage.
He's on a rampage.
I forgot my own rampage.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome back anytime.
Yes.
Love and light.
Bye.
Bye. This episode of the Sexy Unique Podcast is brought to you by the following premium sponsor, Lori Wheat. Thanks to you, my babe. It is all happening.
I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know.